This summer, I'm shopping the small space solutions that America waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has everything from retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, party-ready dining sets in four fun colors, stylish and space-conscious Bobopedic sofas to feature-packed power recliners that let me kick back all summer long. So, when you're ready to snag latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Dirt and Sprague.
I really do believe they're either going to live up to the hype or they're going to have a very mediocre season.
Starting your day with a big cup of dirt.
No, I'm not a bro.
And a little splash of Sprague.
Peekaboo.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number two. Dirt and Sprague here on 105.1 The Fan. NFL camps are rolling on. We're getting our Hard Knocks teasers sent out daily on social media. People losing their minds because Mike McDonald was once doubted.
Rex Ryan said, this guy sucks.
Can you play the doubted card after you win a championship? I don't think it hits the same. I think you got to play that a little harder before you win the title. But I am looking forward to the behind-the-scenes stuff. There's a lot of camp things going on.
I watch it every year. When's episode one's probably next week, right? It's usually the week after the Hall of Fame game, I think. Next Tuesday will probably
be. Is that when it airs? I thought it was tomorrow.
Oh, is it tomorrow? Is it already this week?
I thought I saw the Mike McDonald clip, and I thought they had said it was...
By the way, a great tombstone quote for Brandon Sprague was, here lies Brandon Sprague, still waiting on the Blazers' big move. This is the year! This is it.
John Morant's a big move.
Is that a big move?
A big move that I wanted them to do.
Not one that we expected.
It premieres tonight, by the way.
Oh, okay, so it comes out tonight. Okay, thank you very much.
6 o'clock on HBO.
I will be watching.
Dirt and I will watch it, and we'll report back tomorrow.
I can't wait.
Can't wait.
I love Hard Knocks every year. Every year I watch it.
A lot to get to in the second hour of the radio program. Exactly an hour from right now, we'll be talking Oregon Duck Media Day in football with Ryan Clark of OregonLive.com.
I heard him all over the place yesterday watching interviews, and I'm like, hey, there's our guy, Ryan Clark, down there asking questions.
And then 2 hours from right now, we will be doing a mail sack with a guest.
Yes, a guest mail sack. Very rare.
Because we need to address very interesting behavior. So Brooke Olsendam.
The Queen of Rip City.
Queen of Rip City. She live tweeted during the Odyssey.
Yes, she did. All 3.5 hours of it. Because like, she didn't get it, she didn't like it, and she was letting people know about it.
Overacting. Oh, just die already, actor. You're terrible. Anne Hathaway, you've redeemed yourself. I hate you. Like, honest live reviews during the movie. I'm never getting out of the movie theaters.
She was taking shots all day from people who were Odyssey
fans. Did she not read the book in high school or something?
I never read the book.
Here's the problem. I'm pretty confident we did. I don't remember 80% of that book.
I don't remember
ever
reading that book.
Well, that's because it was 900 effing pages long.
That's why it's taken forever to make it into a movie, and the movie is 17 hours, dude.
See what I'm saying? Like, when I say we read it in high school, we obviously didn't read the whole book.
No.
It's like when I was a child, and I used to have to go to church because you didn't want to burn in hell for eternity. I would tell people at daycare, I've read the Bible.
Name a book. Give me a book. Any book. Pick a book.
I read the whole thing. Front to back.
Front to back.
I used to claim that I read the whole Bible front to back.
I got every word of it. It's all up here.
The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Yeah. He loves me. Yeah. He's forgiven me.
He's redeemed, okay?
Now, F off.
Yeah. Stop bothering me, all right?
All right. So we say things not meaning to the full extent what it is.
I don't ever remember having to read it in high school. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but I don't ever. I feel like a book like that I would have probably remembered. I've known of the book and I've known of the story, but I don't think it was ever required reading. Of me.
All right, well, let's step into Cafe de Dirt and Sprague.
It's a little bit lighter in here today. Not quite as many people came back after the cottage cheese yesterday, so we need to put something out on the marquee sign that's going to bring some business back in here.
Let me ask you this question.
Peaches and cottage cheese?
Peaches and cream. It's an actual song, dude. Look it up. When you guys go out to eat, do you eat the special? Or do you read the special and get what you're going to get?
Very rarely do I get the special.
Okay.
Very rarely.
We have a menu.
Very rarely.
I just gave you a special. You didn't have to eat the special.
Depends on the, higher end restaurants where you know, the quality
I'm
food and the chefs.
I'm talking about a diner.
Do they have specials at diners?
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Do they?
Yesterday's was our waitress Susie's special.
The last time we went out to dinner was for the anniversary. We went to an Italian place. They had two different specials. They both sounded okay, but nothing that piqued my interest, and I got something off the main menu.
Now, if it's something, if the main ingredient of the protein is just something I don't enjoy, okay, fine. But no, normally, if it's a higher-end restaurant and it's a special, one, it means generally the ingredients are fresh, it's a seasonal sort of thing.
Yeah, it's here for a week or two.
And two, the chef has put a little bit more effort into that than the regular.
I don't think about that at all. Does that sound good?
Is he putting more TLC into my plate? That's what I want to
I didn't
know,
even
man.
Consider something like
I
that.
I mean,
that's a good idea.
He's making love to that meal. The other one's like, dude, I've made this for years.
I made 74,000 plates of that.
All right. Special today.
Yeah.
There's a duck egg.
Fried chicken and waffles.
I'm in. Thank you.
There you go.
Thank you. Very easy.
Totally redeem myself.
Totally redeem yourself. I'm
You're
all
welcome.
About it.
You're welcome.
With the hot honey.
Hot honey.
I love a good
regular
honey.
We could do maple syrup.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to do, man.
Put them all on the table. Let me choose.
I love chicken and waffles.
I do too.
I don't eat it enough is what I would say.
No, because the only time you ever making chicken waffles at home, that's an eat out meal. I've never had that at home.
I don't make fried chicken at home is hard to get.
That's why you don't eat it very often.
Right.
Most other breakfasts, now you're not going to do it the same as restaurant quality, but you can make it at home.
You guys can't make good fried chicken, huh?
I've never made fried chicken in my life. Never even tried. Never attempted.
Wow.
I know. Maybe I should try.
I've tried and failed many a time.
This is why I haven't tried.
But I've tried and succeeded,
too. I was like, I don't feel like I'm going to be able to pull that off. We'll get it at a restaurant.
Yeah, that's fair. All right. Well, there's your special for today. Let's step in. Cafe Day Dirtensprig.
I got a text from an Orioles fan who works in this industry who said it's one of the three saddest days for him as an Orioles fan because when they tank these seasons and they picked at the top of the draft, Adley Rutschman, number one overall, and now he's out the door to a division rival.
Yeah, Sherwood's very own Adley Rutschman is no longer a Baltimore Oriole. I have to say that slowly. I always say
Oriole.
He is now a Boston Red Sox. He is fighting for Team Lucy Burge. And they shipped him. He's been on the IL, but he is going to be the Red Sox new catcher.
This is this has to be a very tough day, as Buster only points out. I know Joe Fisher agrees. It's the number one overall pick in the draft, man. He's been an all-star three times, I want to say, in his career.
He was an all-star this season.
He was an all-star this year. He was second in rookie of the year voting. He had a
little bit of a downturn
last
year.
He was not good. Yeah. He was injured. He only played in 90 games. And the number, he has almost hit more home runs through 67 games than he hit in 90 last year. And he's going to surpass it as long as he stays healthy in the second half.
Where's he at right now?
He's at 8 home runs, 47 RBIs, hitting .251. Now, he's not quite lived up to I'm the number one pick. Yeah. I'm the face of the franchise kind of guy. Mm. But it reminds me of the conversation, and maybe this is disrespectful one way or the other, but we had this conversation about Clowney yesterday. Clowney has been a very good NFL edge rusher for a bunch of different teams for a long time. Did he ever live up to the hype of being the number one overall pick and being that kind of guy that can't? Maybe not, but he's been a really good player that you want on your team for a long time. That's the way that I view Adley Rutschman. He's a good defensive catcher. Seems like a great guy in the clubhouse. He's a three-time All-Star. He was an All-Star this year. He's still only 28 years old, so you got a little bit of a runway there. He's not quite lived up to that thought process, but he's been a very good big leaguer. And when you trade away a number one overall pick that you spent years tanking to go get in another losing and tanking season, woo-hoo, buddy, tough life being an O's fan.
Over the last month and a half or so, this team has demonstrated just an incredible resilience and relentlessness and put itself, kind of firmly in the playoff picture. And they deserved, and our fans deserve, our efforts, the efforts from the front office to try and find ways to make it better.
There's Red Sox general manager Craig Breslow on the multiple trades. We just mentioned Adley Rutschman there. They made multiple trades yesterday. They're red hot, and maybe this is just who they are now, and they're not just red hot. This is the Boston Red Sox, but they've certainly gone from the bottom of the division to being in contention and fighting for that playoff spot. And yesterday they think they made the moves necessary to put them over the top to get them back in the postseason.
Yeah, man, I think it's a great point. Like, as a fan, all you can ask for, if your team is deserving of it, go do it. And they've been playing outside of the first month of the year or the first 6 weeks, whatever it was of the season. They've been the best team in baseball.
Manager, they got an interim manager.
Here we go.
But you go on a 25-3 bender.
Right, you better go be aggressive and add to it. They're 5 games clear of a wild card spot. They're ahead of Cleveland by 4, and then Minnesota's a game behind Cleveland. And so they're
five back of Tampa?
Five back of Tampa. So the division, that's a big hill to climb.
The question
it's a tough
is how many
division,
games do they have left with Tampa?
Right, and you might be able to make up some ground there. But either way, I think you feel very good about the claim that they're a playoff team. Be aggressive. I love that for Boston.
Order up. When you have, you know, great teams and you have great players, it just raises the bar of other people and other players and other teams. And I think that's, you know, again, like our focus is on, at least this week, you know, our focus is on what we need to do to get better in our group and our team. But when you've got a, you know, highly competitive division or team, that definitely, you know, can help raise the bar of what it looks like. I think for us, let people debate about, you know, what it all means. But, you know, we understand to come out of the National League West and in the National League, you've got to be really good.
There's Padres general manager A.J. Preller. He was asked if the Dodgers are ruining Major League Baseball. We'll get to the GM of the Dodgers here in a second.
You're not going to get a lot of GMs to go on the record and say that publicly.
Did you see? I should have pulled it. I should have sent it to Swag. Did you see the Diamondbacks guy?
I did not, no.
I'm blanking on his name right now. But the Diamondbacks guy, because they're all doing these post-trade deadline press conferences. And he was like, we tried. We offered really good packages, and nobody would take our deal.
Mm.
So, like, part, and I know
he's the Joe Cronin of baseball.
Well,
GMs,
we hear this locally, right? Like, oh, he tried.
They tried. You know, it takes two to tango.
You want a star for trying? Like, I'm glad you tried.
Give you a high five on your way out of the office.
What did you make? So, take the Diamondbacks, for example, right? Who want to be good.
The Diamondbacks are ahead of the Padres in the standings right now.
How do we know they didn't contact the Tigers? The report is the Tigers actually reached out to the Dodgers because Scooble wanted to go to the Dodgers.
Right.
He came out and said, I don't care if you think they're ruining it. They're a winning organization. You all are idiots. It's basically what Scooble said yesterday. Like, what if the Diamondbacks had a better deal than
the
Dodgers? And the Tigers are just like, we want to make our star happy, thank him for his services, and we're going to take what they're offering us.
This is the tough part about the post-trade stuff, because we do hear this often as Blazer fans of, we tried, what do you want? The asking price was too much, or they were unwilling to do business with us. And there's a balance there. I think at times there is truth to it. Like, I think Arizona, if they have a head on their shoulders, they're calling Detroit and they're sniffing around and they're making efforts. How serious are the efforts? We'll never know. You're not going to list the prospects that you put out in a hypothetical trade. Say, we offered this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy, and this guy, and they still said no to us. You're not going to come out and do that to your prospects. And so it's also very beneficial that if you're a fan base that's upset after the deadline that you didn't go get the big fish, and the big fish went to your division, by the way, that you come out and say, what do you want from me? I offered and tried to get the guy. Like, who knows if he's actually telling the truth? I think Arizona probably tried. The Dodgers stuff is going to be noise and chatter the rest of the season. San Diego and the Preller quote, I loved what they did yesterday, and I love how aggressive they've largely been his entire tenure. They have not had a very good year. They're on a nice little stretch here in the last 2 weeks. They're not going to win the division, but they got a shot at a wild card spot, and they said, let's go for it. Let's add a couple of big-time arms, and they went out and did it yesterday.
I'd play the Braves cut, but my general manager's busy sitting on his 2021 World Series ring, not making any.
Hey, Taylor Molly, what are you talking about? You didn't get a Taylor Molly press conference? They didn't do one for Taylor Molly? No.
Go to the Braves Reddit page. Boy,
not good.
That is
not good. You guys are in first place. What are you complaining about over there?
We're trying to win the World Series again, dude.
Order up!
Passionately disagree. Again, this is about the partnership that we have with our fans who come out 50,000 large and the passion that they have for this team. The guys in that clubhouse who are doing everything they can to put us in position to win a World Series. And fortunately, through the incredible work by our scouting staff, our player development staff, our front office analytics group, all of our different departments have their fingerprints all over this. And so it's put us in position to not only be competitive here, but also to have a really strong farm system, which then puts us in position to be able to have these type conversations. And so I think it's incredible work by a lot of people that have allowed for this, and it's special, and we're not going to be flippant about this moment in time and how special this group, this era can be in the history of, you know, this incredibly storied organization, and we're going to do everything we can to keep doing what we can to win the last game of the year.
There's Andrew Friedman, the GM of the LA Dodgers. What do you mean? We're not doing anything different. We're just better at everything than you.
That's true. If you're a Dodger fan, you love every single word of that answer.
Yep.
It's music to your ears. We owe it to us. We owe it to our fan base. Our window is open, and we're going to do whatever we can to keep this window open as long as we possibly can. The bigger issue will always remain in baseball, the amount of teams who just don't try and don't spend. And that will always be the bigger issue. But the Dodgers will dominate the headlines. I hate them with a passion. You know that. But the bigger problem is the teams who don't give a rip, who don't try, who don't spend money, and then want to turn around and say, we need a salary cap. The Dodgers are ruining baseball. How about you try? How about you do something?
Order up! Al primer picheo, el contacto a terrenos del tornillo, que no puede quedarse con ella de primera. Después se entrega con Félix. Regresa. ¡Epa!
¡Epa!
Y wow, hay golpes ahí por parte de Danry Vázquez y el tornillo Amador. Salta todo el mundo. ¡Cuidado!
¡Epa!
Could that be a drop?
I pulled it. That's I think I sent it to Swag.
Okay,
it is. I put it on this page.
Epa!
Epa!
It's fantastic.
Epa, by the way, is basically like, hey, whoa, hey, you know? Like,
hey. Whoa, whoa. Oh, what's going on
we
there?
We had a fight in a Mexican baseball league yesterday. We had a runner. I think it was between Tijuana and I don't know what the other one was.
Do we know any of the names? Because a lot of times old, like, fat big leaguers will go, like,
involved.
I think Pablo Sandoval's gone and played Mexican baseball. Like, a lot of these guys go hang out down there and make some money after their careers are over.
I don't know the names, okay. But runner was on third, got caught in a rundown between home and third. And he got tagged, and he just turned around and punched the
baseman. It was a sucker punch
in
yeah.
the face. Yeah.
What, do we know? Did anybody do a follow up? Like, why did we sucker punch the guy at third base?
I don't think we did.
Did he sleep with your wife? What's going on here?
I don't
man?
Know.
I got
I
a lot of, lingering questions.
I just like the Ipa.
Ipa.
That's great.
Order up.
I have literally an individual that maybe used to work at ESPN that covers our league at the highest level, and there's a major scandal. And it's just like nobody can talk about it? What are we even
I mean,
doing
personal
here?
Personal lives are personal lives. I feel like you of all people should know that.
I understand, but if it's affecting certain things, if there's leaks going on, if there's tampering going on, if that person is also an MVP voter and a Coach of the Year voter, remember when I won MVP in 2021?
Yeah.
And that bum in Chicago?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's real life. Like, how are we allowing these
what
people to have an
name?
Impact?
Hobart.
There's Aaron Rodgers on Pat McAfee yesterday.
You didn't want to pull his Fauci cuts? You didn't want those in the cafe today? You mean plead the fifth on this one?
I think we're going to live the rest of our lives with a lot of people never going to get over.
Oh, no, they won't move on. This point is actually one that I chuckled here in that.
Well,
it
was weird because I saw the Fauci thing and I was like, yeah, not really surprised. He's
I mean,
doing
that's a groove fastball
red meat for him.
Right down the middle of the plate. He's not going to miss that pitch.
He's also not wrong to call this out of like, dude, she worked for your network. She
had inside information. She's a newsbreaker.
I think
she's a voter.
Was the second highest paid newsbreaker in the entire business behind Schefter.
Yes.
And nobody's talking about this.
This has been a relationship going on for how long? How long is they like? What has been impacted by this? What things has she reported to benefit the head coach of the New England Patriots?
What was he celebrating, by the way, on the Fauci thing?
I don't know.
Said I've been vindicated. I've been proven right.
Oh, I don't know. I just saw that he made fun of him pleading the fifth. That's all. I didn't watch the entire interview. I'm not sure.
I saw that and I saw this. And I wanted to pull this because I was like, well, yeah, you're not wrong to call that out, and they largely avoided it as a topic.
And you know that was a direction from the top.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, we're big-time partners with the NFL here. They don't want us talking about this
story. I went to the audio page. ESPN has an audio page, and they will provide all their audio content.
None on that. You know what they're doing for the first time, and I believe, is it this year that they got their first Super Bowl, or is it
yes.
next year?
Yeah.
They got a Super Bowl coming up, buddy.
Mm.
We ain't jeopardizing that. They already got ads running for that. Yeah. Little Toy Story football players.
I think there's a lot more, you know, review than there is installing. I think there's a lot more comfortability from a rep perspective, you know, getting around all the guys. You know, we're a lot closer as a unit. But, you know, I still have a lot to prove. I only played 9 games, and It still feels like, you know, year one in some aspects, but also feel very comfortable in some other aspects. So I'm just excited to be out here, you know, getting better every day with all the guys.
Can you name that player?
Only because I looked at the quote.
Oh.
If I didn't look over at the screen, I would not have been able to name that player.
I wouldn't have known who that was.
I might have
voice.
Ended up guessing him based on the way he said he only played 9 games last year. Mm. I might have been able to get there, but probably not.
That was Tyler Shuck on the NFL Network. Duck legend. Cardinal legend.
If he wins the Super Bowl, we're totally claiming him. If the Saints win the Super Bowl this year, he's a duck.
As I said a couple days ago, I think Tyler Shuck's the second best quarterback in the division.
It's a bold claim, Cotton. Bold claim. The numbers weren't outstanding last year, but he's also a rookie on a really bad team. So
I'll be
what do you want
right
from him
today and tomorrow and the rest of the season?
The mark it down, dude.
Tyler Shuck, where I was wrong, but quickly admitted that he's good.
Yeah, it's very interesting how quickly we glom onto a decent stretch of play. I'm certainly not rooting against Shuck. I got nothing against him. I got nothing against the Saints. I do find the idea of the show before us today, the Saints are contending. I think they're going to win a playoff game. Like, all right, there's a team like that in the NFL every year. So you never say never. Nobody thought it was the Seahawks and the Pats last year. Mm-hmm. And we'll see if the Saints can be that team.
Order up!
I have not. I've been very fortunate. We got a great team. We put together a great plan. And going into this training camp, you know, I was full go, going to be out there ready to go. And it's been fun to get back out there. And I'm obviously not running around crazy because that's not what the quarterback position calls for. But when it's there, I'm able to move, and I feel good when I do it.
Yeah, that's Bo Nix, NFL Network, as camp stops are happening all over the networks. I'm fascinated, man. The expectations in Denver.
Be for a Super Bowl.
Versus the expectations in Vegas. They're like 9.5.
Yeah.
9. The ankle injury and the how injured is it, the surgeries he's had or he hasn't had between the coach and what he's saying.
Not a great way to end your year.
And also, like, I mean, it's okay for me to say I've been pretty wrong so far on Nix. He's had a great career. He's been to the playoffs twice. Got to help get his team to the AFC title game. Also, I would say I think his game really hinges on how mobile and moving he is on the run, moving the pocket. Not that he can't be an in-pocket quarterback, but more like just the way his game is, he's a very mobile player. And so, like, what is that going to look any different? Is it going to be less? Is it going to be the same? I'm very curious. Denver's an interesting team to me this year of, do I go all in and say there's really good value there of they're not given a chance versus are they going to be able to repeat what they did last year?
Yeah, this is the beauty of the NFL is that you feel like you know something about a team and then next thing you know, you look up 7 weeks through the year and they've disappointed or they're going in the opposite direction. I certainly would have no reason to believe that Denver won't live up to the hype. I thought he had a really good second year. There wasn't a ton of regression and he had moments in big games, particularly in the divisional round against Buffalo, where he was unbelievable in that game, man. He was awesome. He ran the ball well. He had 3 TDs. He threw for nearly 300 yards. He outplayed Josh Allen in a playoff game. And so when you got that going for you and the last time we saw you play, I'm going to be really high on you this year. That's not getting away from the weird dynamics between him and his head coach and the differing quotes. They also, I thought, got better this offseason, and they added him another weapon. So the sky's the limit for them. The expectations now going into year three. You played a lot of snaps. You've been through a lot of games. Like, it's to compete for a championship, and they're in the mix to do it this year.
We'll get to Dan Lanning audio, Ryan Clark at 8:04. There is Cafe Day Dirt and Sprague. We do it every day at 7 a.m. We're back with a little more NFL, and then I want to dive into some college football as well on 105.1 The Fan.
Time to open the door to the Blazers. This is the Blazers Report, brought to you by Ponderosa Garage Doors, Portland's repair and installation experts.
I don't know that I believe that it works, but I do kind of get the theoretical with Sohan on this roster. Like I said, they don't have that forward size guy. They desperately needed it at this position. That's why I think there's a pretty decent chance that he makes the team.
There's the homie Mike Richmond, Locked On Blazers podcast on the newest Blazer, Jeremy Sohan, who we talked about yesterday, got a camp invite and potentially going to make the last roster spot.
Yeah, I'd be pretty surprised if he's not on the team. He's a guy who's been around the NBA. He provides length and defense, which are two things, ironically, you need now after the way you built your team the last couple of years. And there's an open roster spot, so I'd be surprised too.
This Blazer Report brought to you by Ponderosa Garage Doors, where they are taking service to new heights. Call Ponderosa today or visit them at PonderosaGarageDoors.com.
This summer, I'm taking a new approach to styling the smallest spaces in my house with help from Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has the small space solutions that America's waited 250 years for, like retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, dinner party ready dining sets in four fun colors, stylish spacious Bobopedic sofas, and feature packed power recliners that let me kick back in even the smallest rooms. Plus, I know that Bob's styles are backed by thousands of real 5-star customer reviews, so I can trust that the furniture that I'm getting is not just affordable, but built to last. And the best part? Bob's furniture ships fast, so I can enjoy my new styles all summer long. So when you're ready to ditch the furniture you're not excited about for the latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love.
Just because I want to revisit, we'll get to Ryan Clark at 8:04 today. My cousin texted me on the tombstone topic and said that her mom has always said that she wants on the tombstone, "I told you I was sick."
That's pretty good. I tried to warn you.
I told you it was real.
Nobody listened to me all those years.
I told you it was real is also a really good.
I told you it's real. That's a good poll.
We'll get with Ryan Clark and talk about Oregon Media Day. We've got a lot of audio we can get to. The unfortunate thing is a four-hour show is long and lengthy, but sometimes doesn't feel like it's long enough.
Yeah, you need more time.
Because we got Brooke Olsendam coming up for the mail sack at 9 a.m. So get those mail sack questions in at 503-864-6326.
Mail sack!
That's the Sparta TRT mail sack that we'll get to at 9. And Brooke Olsendam, we can throw questions at her as well.
I think it's a great idea.
And play the game with her. Tomorrow on the radio program, Matt Maiocco is going to join us. We'll talk about the Niners substation problem.
It feels like it gets bigger every year.
I'm starting to believe it.
I think it just grows. Every year it's like mutating into a bigger substation.
They've done legitimate studies and said there's actually nothing there. I'm just refusing to believe it now.
Yeah.
And then Greg Oden is going to join us in studio at 9.
I mean, yeah, that's going to be awesome. He's in town for PDXYZ, ZXYZ, PDXYZ?
PD's,
XYZ, right?
PD's YZs.
Sure, yeah, that's
PDXYZ.
Happening.
PDXYZ.
Yes, and he's going to be in town, and we had a great time with him on, what was that, a month or two ago we had him on, a little bit ago?
I don't remember.
It was a great time, he enjoyed it, and he said, hey, you guys want me to come on again, that'd be great, and we said, when you're in Portland, let's do it, and so he's going to pop in studio. We got to take a picture, because I've always been curious, what do I look like standing next to Greg Oden?
A groupie.
Yeah, probably. Am I above the belly button?
I mean, I would think so. Yeah.
I hope so.
He's not 9 feet tall.
I'm also not 6 feet tall.
Well, what do you think I'm going to look like? Big?
I mean, you'll
He's like 7'1".
At least you're bigger than me, man.
Wait till he shakes your hand and your entire hand disappears.
I want a handshake and a photo standing next to him. We just need to take a look at that.
Well, we got a lot of people that have signed we have a wall that we want people that come in. That
he's got to sign it.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that'll be one of the things that we do, where we
but
look out there and we
sign it 2 feet above
everybody else. Yeah, how high can you reach? That's where you sign it.
I think I need to go get a Greg Oden jersey today.
I literally have
this.
A Greg Oden jersey. I'm bringing it in for him to sign.
What if he refuses? What do you do? What if you ask him before we do the interview?
I'm okay with that. You know why?
Can you sign this? And he goes,
"What's worse, refusing or say I only do that for $50 or $100?"
Same. All right. Well,
considering he just had a video go viral where he admitted that he got $1 million tax free from China,
smoking cigs all game.
I think that's gonna that would bother me. What, $50?
I wouldn't be that upset because it's one of the knockoff wide shoulder basket. Remember those ones that had like the double the size shoulder?
And you're
like, yeah, that's the one that I have of Greg Oden.
That's okay.
So if he doesn't sign it, I'm like, whatever. If I had an authentic one that he didn't sign, then I'd be a little livid. But if he signs this one, it'll go up in the man cave.
Also, just for show purposes, purposes. I think one of our P1s is currently going viral for a half court miss.
Yeah, I want to tag him on Twitter, but you don't want me to tag him on Twitter. I think this is out there. He knows it happened.
Viral.
He laughed about it. I think we need to ask the question.
He laughed about it?
It looks like he's giggling in the video. He's having a good time.
Well, one of our P1s, Bob, is shooting a half court shot at the fire game. And he shoots at a running start, and the ball doesn't get to the free throw line, and he fell.
Yeah, not good.
It's a combo.
One of the weaker attempts we've ever seen.
It's a poo-poo platter attempt, if he's being honest with himself, and I think he would be. But,
yes, I think so.
Let's get to some Oregon Duck audio, shall we?
Let's do it.
Because unlike Kurt Cignetti, Dan Lanning will play anybody and everybody.
Well, kind of.
Yeah.
They don't have that hard of a non-conference schedule in the years to come.
You're right.
One of the things I like critiquing Indiana about, and I mean, at least we're playing a Power 4 team. And Boise State might be a playoff contender. That's tougher than Indiana.
Playoff team 2 years ago.
Yeah,
and
they might win the Pac-12.
State,
like, yeah, so that's, you know, it's not nothing, but it's not like you're out there playing. It's a Texas-Ohio State game.
Well, yesterday was Oregon Media Day. Here was Dan Lanning on how he defines success in camp with this group.
Yeah, for us, it's improvement, right? Where guys step in, our guys making the same mistakes twice. Again, do they understand the concepts that we're trying to institute? Do our coaches really get comfortable in the roles that they're wearing? We have a lot of new coaches that are wearing new roles than what they've worn in the past, you know, and making sure that we push those guys to level. And then you'd love to leave fall camp healthy, right? That's something you want to be able to accomplish and make sure you can go into the season, you know, full clip.
Yeah,
I love the moments where we've all been there. You're talking, you forget the word you're trying to use with a full.
I had to do a double take on the word.
Clip. Yeah.
Make sure I hear that P in there.
RP. It's going to be a hard P in
there.
I
heard it the first time the other way, and I was like,
What? What did he just say?
Here was Dan Lanning on this year versus last year in terms of expectation and the team.
Yeah, I thought we had a lot of young talent last year and certainly a lot of talent. We lost some guys to the NFL, so we certainly lost some pieces of the puzzle, but we have a lot back. That being said, there's experience, but, you know, talking to our team, I said, raise your hand if you're new. There's still a lot of new faces in that room. So it's going to be about that experience and those young guys and new guys leaning on the people that have been here before on what it's supposed to look like and how it all plays out.
Yeah, he's going to lean, and the expectations are going in, leaning on some of the guys who are returning is going to be a big one for them in terms of tackling the expectations.
Yeah, I think it's important. I think you got to paint pictures for our players on things that you know are going to happen. There's going to be moments of adversity throughout the year. There's going to be moments of success. There's going to be high praise. There's going to be low praise. When those things happen, we already know they're going to happen. How do you handle that? And, you know, making the decision in advance of, you know, how you respond, what that looks like, and how you handle it. But certainly our players have taken a big role this summer. Expect them to continue to take a big role through fall camp and throughout the season.
He was also asked about the playbook, the new offense. We got a new OC down in Eugene. He's asked about the playbook with Dante, who, interesting enough, has had 3 years now under Dan Lanning. I believe, I can't remember who asked this question, but I think they pointed out that this is the longest quarterback for Dan Lanning.
It's the first time he's ever had a guy in system and program for 3 years. Bo was two, Dylan was one, last year Dante was two. It's the first time he's ever had a guy 3 years.
And so he was asked, basically, do you keep everything as is? I think it was Orm that actually asked this question. Do you keep everything as is with Dante and just keep it humming? Or how much do you expand everything with what he already knows?
I mean, I think with any great player, you always say, what are they capable of? What can they handle? And the more they can handle, the more you throw at them, right? You throw the kitchen sink at them and see what they can do. But on the same note, let's not forget how we got here and what's made him really good in the past. So every player is different. Dante has a ton of experience. We're going to add wrinkles every single year on both sides of the ball and then special teams. So there's new things that we haven't done in the past that we're going to do now. There's certainly a lot that Dante can handle, but then there's times where you just like, hey, let's just call inside zone and let him hand the ball off, right? Or let's just throw four verts and let him take care of business there. So all the stress shouldn't be applied to Dante, right? But he's capable of a lot, so we're going to give him a lot.
Yeah, so we'll see how much they expand what Dante already knows and, you know, build off everything. He obviously came back because he believes he needs to grow a little bit more as a player.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another aspect and position that I actually want to talk about, but we're going to have to get to that on the other side. But just Dante Moore and the expectations and, you know, this. I listened to the full Pardon My Take thing.
Yeah, that wasn't very long.
It wasn't very long. It was in that window of Big Ten Media Day. And
a lot of it was revisiting old stuff, which is fine for their podcast because it's new to their audience, right? Of him driving to Pitt to get the job and staying at Oregon. It was a lot of the same themes we've heard before.
But also, like, he's accepting the expectations, but the title or bust thing, he's like, Are we going to live up to our potential is basically how he's viewing this
season. Well, I think it's – I love the way he phrased it, the idea of title or bust. Like, you don't know what's going to happen. Does a key player or two get hurt and you're like, well, you didn't win a championship? Well, it's because those guys got hurt. Is that a bust of a season? It's disappointing, sure. It's not a failure. It's not a bust. So the way you phrase stuff I do think is important. He knows that they have the talent capable of winning a championship. They are one of – however big that group is. Maybe for some of you it's six teams, maybe it's eight teams, maybe after Indiana winning it's 25 teams in your mind that can win a national championship this year. Oregon is one of those teams. They have the ability to do it. Now you got to go put it all together. The exciting thing to come, I think, in the next few weeks is going to be to figure out, and we won't know a ton about this at the time, probably until we get to the Boise State game, but last year you go back to, what were we saying on August 4th about Jordan Davison? What were we saying on August 4th about De'Aaron Hill?
Well, we didn't think those were going to be...
I mean, if you didn't follow Oregon recruiting, you didn't even know the names. Yeah. You didn't even realize those guys were in there. It was Mekhi Hughes is going to be your top back, and then Mekhi Hughes didn't do anything.
He
transferred.
Yep.
What were we saying about Brandon Finney? What, like, you go down the list of a lot of these guys where they were certainly highly touted kids. They ended up having massive impacts right away.
And they did.
That's the exciting part for me. Like, I'm banking on a lot of these guys coming back and getting better, Dante Moore being one of them. But then there's the other side of that, is that you got a whole new crop of a top five ranked recruiting class coming in. Is there four guys, five guys, six guys, seven guys? How many can be impact players for them right away? It'll be fun to kind of discover that through fall camp and then see who makes the cut against Boise State.
Well, there's one aspect of the team that I find very interesting. You either think it's problematic or it's a good problem to have. I want to talk about that on the other side with some Oregon Media Day stuff from Dan Lanning next on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan.
Little Bob here. This summer, shop the latest small space solutions at Bob's Discount Furniture. From retro chic bedroom sets to stylish space-conscious Bob-o-pedic sofas, it's all at Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. It's nice to go down memory lane sometimes and realize how awful you are.
We've been doing this for a while, man. We've been around for a while.
What are we doing here?
I don't know. Trying to grow. Trying to be better.
We already have Seahawk fan chiming in that my Mike McDonald's going to be a dud on Hard Knocks is going to age like milk. I am shocked a Seahawk fan has that take.
Did you say dud? Specifically the word dud?
I said
dud?
He's an elite coach. He's a championship coach. I don't think he's going to be very entertaining. As a Hard Knock coach.
How many Hard Knocks coaches have you found entertaining out of curiosity?
It's a balance always,
right? You're a
watcher
of it.
I'm a watcher of it. McDermott was pretty boring last year. Dan Campbell's probably the greatest we've ever had.
I don't even know all the coaches we've had.
I'd have to go back and look every year because I forget.
Philbin cannot be beat.
Joe Philbin will always take
the
cake
as Philbin.
The most. Didn't we have Mike McDaniel? Didn't they do the Dolphins for a year? McDaniel was there.
They did the Dolphins twice? I mean, the Dolphins have been pretty...
pretty bad.
Largely. McDaniel got
all right, let's
turned
see
around.
Who are our teams? We have had in the last couple of years... it was the Bills last year. They sucked. Year before that, it was the Bears with Eberflus. He was pretty boring. Remember Zaddy Eberflus?
Zaddy Eberflus, that's right.
Then it was the Jets the year before that. I don't even remember. It was Sala, because that was the Rodgers year, I believe.
I believe you're correct.
Sala was pretty good.
I think McDonald's going to be Sala.
Yeah.
They're cliche football bros. Yeah. All they care about is football.
This cracks me up. I do love that. If you're a Seahawks fan, you're going to love every part of this. Like, my head football coach, who we just played audio of, I think would be great in a setting like this. You know what? He also doesn't have a championship, so I'd much rather have a championship than an entertaining coach. Mm. I just chuckle when I see that from Seahawks fan. Like, of course you're excited to watch him and you think he's going to be entertaining. Because he had a note card of Rex Ryan on his desk saying he doubted him?
He won the Super Bowl.
He did.
It's hard to play the chip card when you've won the Super Bowl. that's all my take is
people
on that.
People keep questioning me.
There is one element. We'll talk with Ryan Clark coming up. We'll have a mail sack. Get those mail sack questions in at 503-864-6326.
Mail.
That's the Sparta sack. TRT mail sack. And we'll be doing that with Brooke Olsendam today. She's going to hop on the line. We're going to call her out for her movie etiquette. I'm completely against live tweeting during movies in a theater.
Mm.
But
I got follow-ups. How many people were in there?
It looked like an empty theater.
Looked like it was middle of the day on a Monday. Like,
it's a three-hour movie. You
so
know?
I won't kill her for that.
Well, I'm not going to. Care if you'd really do it, but like, you know, I would never live tweet a movie, but she did, and I found it very entertaining. So she's going to join us coming up at 9 a.m. There is one element. Joel Klatt has this quote going around, and it's made its waves through of Oregon has no questions.
Zero question marks.
And I find that laughably wrong. Mainly because Oregon isn't even the favorite to win the title, so how can only
They're
Oregon
not even the
have...
favorite to win their conference.
Hey, thank you. That's an even... Yeah, there's even more. How can you have zero questions about you, but not even be the favorite in your conference and or to win the title? Doesn't mean Oregon won't or can't.
Of course.
Or that Joel Klatt's opinion may prove to be right. It's more like you can't go into a season. I don't care how many guys are back. You can't go into a season and say there's no questions. That's utterly ridiculous.
Agree with you. There are absolutely questions.
And I will give you, here is one question I think people are going to have. It's not that it's not going to be good, but there are questions. Here was Dan Lanning when he was asked by Aaron Fentress on, you've been portaling offensive linemen in the last couple years.
Didn't do that this year.
You didn't really do it this year, so what does that say about your faith in this offensive line? Here's Dan Lanning.
We weren't able to hit home runs on every position as we were recruiting early in this process, finding the guys that we can go compete for. Now you're finishing, you know, 3 years later since the league's been here, and we've had, you know, three Joe Moore Award finalist O-lines with a lot of different people in those lineups. So we've attracted some really good players, guys that we have confidence in that we think can make a big impact. It's a really hard position to go make an impact quick. Right. And you look back even to Josh Connerly, he played some as a freshman, but he'd play tight end at times. He'd be our sixth O-lineman. He'd rotate in. I think that this year could look a lot like this, where you have six, seven, eight guys even that are rotating in as players, and their roles grow throughout the season based on how they do in their roles. But we had a lot of confidence in the guys that we had in that room that we didn't need to reach as long as we continue to develop that talent.
So, you know, he might be rotating guys in.
This clip went viral yesterday. Everybody's like, oh my God, this is the worst idea. And every person who follows football knows it's like one of those, if you have two quarterbacks, you have no quarterbacks, you don't want to rotate off, and you want guys to get into a groove.
That's kind of what I was going to ask you. If you're rotating six to eight guys.
Let's call it quick 20. Can I call it quick 20 here?
Go ahead.
I think his answer, including Connerly as a freshman, is what he is thinking. Like this idea as if you will play three different offensive line combinations the entire game, and on one series, these guys are at guards, these guys are at tackles, the next series, these guys, I don't think that's what he's insinuating. I think he's insinuating that when we have talented young players, and they have two of them, I don't know if they will play right away. They signed two of the biggest ranked offensive linemen in the country last year. Tommy Tofi, who was on campus in the spring, the reports of him are like, this dude could play right away. Now, are you going to start him right away? I don't know, but they're going to want to find a role for him in some way, shape, or form. And then Manny, Hanacho, I think is how you say it. Mm-hmm. Just call him Big Manny. He didn't show up until the summer, so I don't know if he'll be ready to go quite necessarily, but he was like the number one or number two offensive tackle in the country. And so I think his argument is we're going to try and find roles for them. When Connerly played as a freshman, he was the number one tackle in the country. He didn't start. To Lanning's point, they put him in goal line packages.
He caught a
touchdown against Colorado, and then you'd put him in as an extra blocker in big heavy sets. Like, I think that's the argument he's making of, we have 5 years to play these guys. They can play as many games as they want. There's no more redshirt rule like it used to be. And so we have the idea of just we're gonna find snaps for you. I didn't read that answer as you're going to have a different set of tackles on every possession of the game.
He's right to point to the recruiting being improved at the position paired with being Joe Moore Award finalist in the category of offensive line with Alik Terry.
Three straight years.
Here's the question. Here's the follow-up to what you're saying. I didn't see this in Freak Out, but I also don't have...
This was one of the more viral quotes because it's this idea you shouldn't do that, and I don't think he's insinuating...
Well, he talked about the offensive line twice. This was the second time he had talked about it in his press conference, and so I thought this one was interesting just to have the, and we'll see how that all goes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not also forget, 2 years ago, their struggles against Idaho
and Boise,
you know, that group ended up, I think, being a Joe Moore Award finalist.
It did.
But they had to tweak...
They had to put Poncho back, et cetera. They had injuries in fall camp. They didn't like their guard situation, so they moved pieces around, and it was bad.
I think, Dirt, what you maybe saw, because I didn't see the reaction to it or it go viral. I just listened to it late last night and pulled the audio cuts. I didn't see what you saw, so you'd have to kind of fill in the blanks on this.
Mm-hmm.
I viewed that as it might be similar. maybe there is a, let's see what this is week one, week two. If everything's clicking by the time you get through Boise State and Oklahoma State, then you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe there's an interchangeable player or two in there.
Yeah,
he's never not going to tweak if he needs to. He will always
do
what it takes. And he did it 2 years ago and it worked great. I wouldn't put it past him to do that again.
Here's what I would say. I think the tweaks 2 years ago largely happened, and the reason their offensive line got off to a rough start was because how injured they got in camp. Like, their top three guards were all hurt. They were sliding guys around, and that was one of those, like, all right.
But
and
struggling against Idaho is...
Oh, it was alarming, dude. We thought the season was over after two games, and then they went undefeated and won the Big Ten before the Rose Bowl happened.
Right.
So I get the point, and I viewed it more as simply just saying, how many games did they have offensive linemen miss last year, right? Like, they had – one of the reasons they feel confident in this group is that I would argue the two lead horses for left tackle right now are Fox Crater and Janoris Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Fox Crater started at least one game, if not two. I'd have to go back and look. I know Janoris Wilson started against Iowa on the road, and when you go back and watch the film of both of them, they both looked really good. But again, the point being, they had to fill in and start as backups and unproven players, and so the idea we have 68 guys that we could rotate, I think that's part of it as well. Injuries will happen up front. You might not be wrong, and they might take a game or two to fully solidify the rotation. I think they'd like to have that answer coming out of fall camp. They have Poncho back at center, you know it. Dave Iuli is going to start at one of the guards. I think he was left guard last year. So those are pretty solid. I think they feel good about where they're at tackle. And then the question will become, which of these young guys, can Tommy Tofi come and take snaps right away as a true freshman? Can Big Manny come take tackle or snaps a tackle right away? And if he can, they're going to find ways to play those guys. But yeah, you got to work out your rotation and you got a month of fall camp in order to figure that out.
We need to get to Ryan Clark coming up here at the top of the third hour. Brooke Olsendam in the mail sack, 503-864-6326 in the final hour of the radio program. Very, very quickly.
Yes.
Maybe we can get back into this if you want, but this is kind of my point on the Clack quote, right?
Yeah, there's obvious. They have two new coordinators. They have three new starters on
like
the offensive line.
How can you honestly say there's no questions?
There's still question marks about where they're at linebacker. There are questions. Yeah, might say they have the fewest questions. That's fine. But again, to your point, they're not favored to win the national championship.
No.
And they're not favored to win the Big Ten. So they're certainly one of the best teams in the country. I don't know about zero questions.
We got other cuts from some of the other players, Dante and Evan Stewart. We'll get to those at some point. Kickoff hour three, Ryan Clark of OregonLive.com covering the Oregon Ducks. We'll talk with him coming up hour three on the Fan.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.